Jeremiah chapter 6. I'd like to just bring a few thoughts out of this because of the day and age in which we live. We see our country turning further and further away from God. And I don't know if you read, but I heard that 4 more states have legalized recreational use of marijuana. And they're already trying to calculate how many dollars they'll take in tax revenues. Now, they'll be spending out twice that much in medical for these people that are hooked on dope and go from the marijuana to heavier drugs. They'll spend it on law enforcement and incarceration and broken homes and lost taxes in the economy. But nevertheless, they want to legalize it. And I think it's just the way things are going to be during the tribulation period. But we see our country going further and further from God. So how do we, as God's people, avert national ruin? Because it seems like that's where we're headed. Like our country is just bent on doing that. We have a 4-year reprieve. And that just means we've got 4 years where those philosophies will not be jammed down our throat and we'll have a certain amount of liberty to go ahead and have things the way they have always been. Although not all the way, and that's why this was such a difficult election for us as God's people in choosing who we would vote for. I know a lot of people, good Bible-believing Baptists that were part of the Never Trump campaign. That just is the result of Donald Trump being the product of our society and our culture. Well, how do we avert this national ruin? Well, we know Jeremiah's timing as far as when he lived. He lived at the conclusion of the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom had already gone into captivity, and God called Jeremiah from the womb to be a prophet of God, and he had a lifelong and a very lengthy ministry preaching and sharing God's word with the Jews. But they didn't listen and went into captivity in spite of it. But here in chapter 6 and verse number 16, he gives us 5 things that we can do to help avert national ruin. Now, if we're going to avert national ruin, this has to become nationwide. But it starts here. It starts with you and it starts with me. So let's go ahead and read that verse, ask God to bless the message, and then very quickly go through these 5 different things. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Father, we thank you for your word and Father, as we see the similarities between the days of Jeremiah and the day in which we live and the culture, Father, help us to learn what you had Jeremiah share with these folks. And so, Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to have free reign in our hearts. Father, may each of us yield and be filled with that same Holy Spirit. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the first thing that we need to do in order to avert national ruin, according to this verse here, is simply just not bury our head in the sand, to not bury our head in the sand. He tells us there at the beginning of the verse, stand in the ways and see. Get out and see what's going on. We need to be an informed people. And unfortunately, our news media is incredibly biased. It seems like they're intent on ruining our culture and handing our country over to the communists and to the pagans. And that's unfortunate. But there are other sources of information. We receive a bulk mailing of the Sword of the Lord, and you can get a good amount of news in there. Not a lot, not enough to satisfy you, but the paper comes out every 2 weeks, and they've got a column, that's the word I'm looking for, a column on what's in the news. And so we can be informed in other ways than that. And I would especially encourage you, if you watch the television news, even if you're watching Fox News, I would highly encourage you to spend some time also listening to one of the talk shows, the conservative talk shows like Sean Hannity would be my recommendation, or Rush Limbaugh, just to get a different view on the same occurrences. Because even Fox News, even though they say they're fair and balanced and they report and we decide, they're still coloring it very heavily with paganism and with communism and socialism. And so we can't bury our head in the sands like so many did in the election 4 years ago when Christians just didn't get out and vote. They didn't think it was important enough. They didn't know what the issues were. They didn't realize, understand what was at stake. Now, praise the Lord, this time around, the Christians did get out and vote. They understood a little bit better this time around after another 4 years of devastation to our nation. But we spiritually have to keep our head out of the sand. We have to get out and understand and be informed and realize that our Catholic friends are going to hell. And they see absolutely nothing wrong with boozing it up and ruining our country and doing all the things that pagans do. Because they can go on Saturday night to confession and get it all taken care of. They may have to do a little bit of penance, but it's worth it. You know, when I was a kid, if I go grab a handful of cookies and go eat those cookies, I didn't care if I got caught. I'd get a spanking, and it'd be over in about a couple of minutes, and the pain would go away in a couple of hours, but I still got those cookies. To me, it was worth it. And that's the way they look at it. Let's go out and sin. It's worth it. And so we've got to realize they're lost and going to hell, and that they are not on the same side we are in many different areas. We need to realize that many of those that are religious today that go to what are called churches, at least has the word church on their signs, that spiritually they are not standing with us. In fact, in many cases, they are standing against us. Mainline denomination after mainline denomination has thrown up the white flag on the sodomite issue to the point where they're allowing sodomites as pastors of the churches, whether or not they're celibate. They just don't care anymore. They have completely sold out. They have completely sold out Israel and are turning their backs and divesting from Israel and don't believe that Israel has a right to the land that God gave them very clearly in His Word. We can't bury our head in the sands and expect our nation to avert national ruin. We have to be informed on these things. We've got to address these things and know what's going on around us. The second thing we need to do, as we know what's happening, as we stand and see and observe and realize and do all we can to know, the second thing we need to do is be vocal. Stand in the ways and see, and what's that next word? Ask. Ask. That means you don't get out and look around and see what's going on, shake your head and discuss and go back in our homes and in our houses and in our churches and just never say anything or do anything about what's going on. We've got to be vocal about it. We've got to let people know what's going on and the end result and of the actions that they're taking. They don't realize that marijuana devastates. The politicians don't care. Many of them probably are happy, because they can go out and smoke their pot and do their drugs and not have to worry about being arrested or being run out of politics. But we've got to tell them the end result and how devilish that is, and that is from the pits of hell. We've got to tell them that booze destroys lives and destroys countries, and we illustrate it from what the Word of God tells us on these subjects. We need to tell them that sodomy is an abomination in God's eyes and God judges nations, and remind them of Sodom and Gomorrah and what God did there. You see, we've got to be vocal about it, and we've got to let the world know and our nation know that Planned Parenthood is murdering babies and that we don't want to have our tax dollars funding that money-making business They're raking in the money. If you ever see the numbers of what they're earning year after year by killing babies, and it's a lot of it, a major portion of it is coming right out of your tax dollars. Are you happy about that? That you're paying for babies to be murdered? What do you think God is going to think about our nation for doing that? You think he's going to smile on us? No wonder we're in the economic mess we're in. No wonder we're in have the crime sprees that we have in our nation, and there's a rebellion against our police officers. No wonder these things happen. And so we've got to get our heads out of the sand and be vocal about some of these things and tell the people that we have an influence on. There's people you're going to talk to that I'll never have that opportunity to talk to. God is counting on you to share the truth with those individuals. They may say they're Christians, and they may be, but that doesn't mean that they agree with you on these subjects that are important to God. We're talking about averting national ruin. And if our nation stays in the same path it's walking in now, it will die one day and die very soon. A change has to happen. Now, let's move on. The first thing was don't bury our head in the sand. The second thing is we need to be vocal. The third thing is that we need to remind the world, or let's just say remind our nation, of the way of God's blessing. Remind our neighbor of the way of God's blessing. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? You know, there was a day when our nation was very blessed. The economy was the greatest economy in all the world, and we're the most prosperous people ever to live on the face of the earth. And in those days when the blessings were running rampant like they were, and that prosperity was undeniable and obvious to all the world, churches like this one were springing up everywhere. And the pews were full, and people were driving in, and the parking lots were overflowing. And now churches that stand in the old paths are finding empty pews and open parking lots and closing down one after another. Or they're throwing up that white flag and surrendering. But there is a way of God's blessings, and that way has not changed because God never changes. He is always the same. What pleased him 50 years ago is the same thing that pleases him today. I don't know how we can expect to please God and experience his blessing by changing everything we do, by looking back at those old paths and then doing exactly the opposite and think God's going to shine on us with his favor. It's just not going to happen. And so we've got to stay with the good old songs, the great hymns of the faith. We've got to stay with the good old book, the King James Version. We've got to stay with the same old philosophy of trying to win souls to Christ and everything we do focusing in on that. And we need to still support missionaries that are out trying to win souls to Christ and forget all this social gospel missionary stuff. We need to do what the churches did when God was pouring out his blessings on those churches and on our nation because of their obedience to the word of God. When the preacher had the privilege of standing up and saying that candidate is the devil's candidate because of the stands that they take. You see, we're forbidden in our laws today, the Johnson Law, from saying things like that. I can share my opinion and I can share if I'm nonpartisan, but legally, we would be in trouble with the IRS. I mean, were they designed to be a police group? Never. But they've become that. But we'd be in danger from the IRS of being penalized if I were to do that. But churches used to take the lead in politics, and they've shut us down. We need to get back to those old paths where we knew God blessed and they were walking right with God because of it. And so God then blessed even more. The good way. Has our last 10 years been the good way? And let's go back to the turn of the century. And look at how many people lost their pensions because of the funny math that was done in the 90s on Wall Street. People lost entire life savings as a result of that. We haven't been enjoying good days. Look at the national debt and how it's been rung up. Are those good days? We may not feel the pressure of it in our lifetime, but our children and grandchildren are certainly going to have to bear the burden of the bad decisions that are made today. Those aren't good days. Those aren't God's blessings. When have we ever seen people rise up over a presidential election like we see this past week? Are these really good days? I don't think so. Are these the days of God's blessings? Something's changed, and it isn't God. God wants to bless us. But our churches have become so self-centered and so concerned with their own pleasure and their own profit that, and I'm saying very generally, our churches, that they don't support missions anymore. They want big buildings, and they want to have fancy buildings, and the preacher wants to have fancy clothes and drive a big car and live in a mansion or two with a cottage down in Florida or up north, depending where he lives in our country. That's what they're living for nowadays. They don't have any money to support a missionary on the field. These aren't the ways of God's blessings. These aren't those old paths. We need to remind our neighbor of how to get God's blessing in our country. You see, we're so concerned about what our candidates' policies are to revive our economy. If I was a presidential candidate, do you know what my plan to revive our economy would be? National revival. National revival. That's how our economy will be revived. It doesn't matter what kind of plans Mr. Trump plans. President Obama failed on every count. George W. Bush didn't do much better. We can go back all the way. They look at Bill Clinton on how it was so good under his. I remember hearing in the primaries up in Michigan, he was touting, I think it was then, touting how good the economy was under his presidency. By osmosis, I guess Hillary was supposed to be as wise as he was. But what he failed to mention is as soon as he got out of office, everything collapsed because of the way things were done, the funny math they used on Wall Street. You see, it doesn't matter what we have if God's blessings are removed. It doesn't matter what we have by way of a plan to revive the economy. The only way the economy is going to be revived is to get right with God as a nation and have His blessings. And so if we're going to avert national ruin, we've got to take our head out of the sand, and we've got to be vocal, and we've got to remind our neighbor of the way of God's blessing, and then we've got to walk the walk. We've got to do what we say we need to do. That's point number four, because he says in verse number 16, "Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where's the good way, and walk therein." It doesn't do us any good to say one thing and do another, does it? Everybody can see a hypocrite. They may not catch on at first, but they're going to eventually catch on. And if you're telling them to do one thing and you're doing the opposite, they're going to notice that. You know, we have to be very careful with our children because they pick up on that in a hurry. And so we need to live by faith, and we need to live a life that pleases God, and we need to be lights in this dark world in which God has placed us so that they can see God's blessing in our life and desire those same blessings in their lives. That's what will draw men to Christ. That's what will draw men to your church. That's what will draw men to doing what they need to do so that we as a people can avert national ruin. It starts here. It starts here in the New Testament. The Bible tells that judgment begins in the house of God. And then the final thing we need to do in this verse, he says, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where's the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Just enjoy the rest that God has provided us. And what if we were whining and crying because Hillary had gotten elected instead of Donald Trump? Now, a lot of things would change in our country's outlook and in our personal outlook as Christians regarding our personal freedoms and liberties. But what if that was the case? It almost was, wasn't it? Could we still enjoy rest? Or would we be wringing our hands and worrying and cry, the sky is falling in? What happens to you in the time of crisis? Because how you respond in a crisis is how the world weighs your Christianity. If you come all undone and get all in a dither and are all worried and concerned and fretting and just beside yourself, they're going to look at you and say, you know what? Your God is awfully small. And He does not have the answers. Why would I want Him? But if you can remain calm in the storm and confident in God and live by faith in those times, they're going to look at you and they're not going to understand. And they're going to gain a respect for you and for your God, because they're going to realize that God, the God that you serve, is greater than the God that they serve. And so we need to do these five things. And it begins here. If we're ever going to avert national ruin, we can't bury our head in the sand. We've got to be vocal, reminding our neighbor of the way of God's blessings, those old paths, and then live what we say while we enjoy the rest of God. If we'll follow that formula, according to Jeremiah 6:16, now that's very simplistic, there's a whole lot more to it, but if we don't at least start there, it's not going to happen. I'd like to see our nation revived. I'd like to avert national disaster. I'd like to see national revival. That's what we need. Father, we're so grateful for this country that you've raised up, and Lord, how it was founded on your word and by men, for the most part, who believed in you and your sovereignty and your control over them in our country. But Father, we've come so far away from that today. Father, remind our national leaders, including our current president, President Obama, and our president-elect, Donald Trump, that they are in your hands. And Father, help them to submit to your sovereignty and to your headship and to your direction, and grant them wisdom that we once again may enjoy the prosperity that we did in the past. And help us as individuals to live this, what we found in this verse, in the places of influence that you've placed us in. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.